Good morning again. This is the weekend that the Pastoral Search Committee has prayed for since May of 2023, a candidate weekend. Pastor Jason has had the opportunity to share his story and learn our story through several different events during this candidate weekend. He has answered many questions from the congregation at these events. The search committee has had the opportunity to learn about Pastor Jason's on fire for God attitude, that he lives by the word and he does not waver from this. Pastor Jason has a heart for God's people and he's excited to share this with our congregation. Please help me welcome Pastor Jason Owens as he brings to us what the Lord has laid on his heart to share with us today.
Before I get to preaching, I guess it's time to look at our prayer request in the bulletin. So if you'll turn to that side of the bulletin. Obviously, we have praises today for cooler weather and answered prayers. So thank God for rain and 70-degree weather. We continue to pray for healing for Brandon, Amber, and David B. Safety for our teachers and students as they return to school. And we're also going to pray for patience for our teachers. I'm sorry, children, summer break's over. It's time to get ready to go learn something new. We're going to be praying for those fighting for cancer, including Ken C. and Roger F. For those in transition, including Dominic and Ken B. And let us remember those who are dealing with natural disasters, our friends and family in Omaha, Lincoln, and then, of course, the southeastern United States who just had tropical storm / Hurricane Debbie go through back home. They're dealing with flooding. My father, was talking to him last night. They were under flood warning because they had a massive storm come through right after tropical storm Debbie, and the rivers is yet to crest. So please, please keep everybody dealing with natural disasters in your prayers. But at this time, let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer and intercession. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning at this time to intercede on behalf of those on our prayer list. Father, we know that you are still a God of miracles today, and you still have the same power that you did thousands of years ago. So this morning, Father, we lift up those dealing with illnesses, with cancer, with broken bodies. We just ask that you work a miracle in their lives today, that you would have a victory in their lives, Father. That we could praise your mighty name because there would be no other explanation other than you healed them. So we pray for a miracle today. We come to you in faith asking for healing. Father, we lift up those who are dealing with transitions. Father, we ask that you give them peace that goes beyond human understanding, that you watch over them, that you place your hand of protection upon them. Father, for our friends and families in the areas affected by natural disasters, Father, we just ask that you would bring them peace, that you would help them through this trial and this tribulation. Often in life, we find ourselves walking through valleys and we have no understanding of why we're there. But praise your holy name because no matter what we go through, you never abandon us. You're always with us. Father, this morning I lift up this church, this body of believers who loves you, who have poured out their hearts in praise to you this morning. Father, I ask that you burden each and every one of our hearts, that we would be that lighthouse in Norfolk, Nebraska, that we would be burdened about sharing the precious hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Show us the path that you would have us walk. Show us step by step how you would have us go. Father, this morning we surrender to your will and your will alone. And we ask for all these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I might be a little wound up this morning. Somebody's once asked me, what's my favorite part of being a pastor? And this is it. Standing before a body of believers and preaching the word that God has laid on my heart for you. Title of my sermon this morning is, Are You Ready to Change the World? As I was preparing the right message to bring here to Norfolk, I originally was going to ask the question, do you care? And then the Holy Spirit showed me that that was the wrong question to ask this morning. And the right question is, are you ready? Are you ready to change the world? Well, if your answer is yes, which it sounds like it is, my next question is, are we willing to do whatever it takes? Here we go. For you see, at this time in the life of the church, we have an opportunity to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? There we go. It's okay to talk back to the pastor. So if we want to make a difference for the kingdom, it's only going to happen if we're willing to do whatever is necessary to accomplish the kingdom mission that Jesus left to his church before he ascended back to the right hand of God. So today, as a church, we must decide if we're going to build this church on the sinking sand or on the solid rock. And in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered him and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Above all, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, must be the rock that we build upon. We must be a Christ-centered church. Everything that we do, Christ must be at the center. So in everything that we do, our goal is to glorify God. We are never to seek to please men. And I'll tell you today that my purpose as a pastor is not to make you sitting in the pews happy. My purpose is to glorify God and God alone, and I will edify and equip you to go out. Amen? After all, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Somebody get excited. So to change the world, we have to have a strong biblical foundation that includes the following things. Our foundation must have a kingdom focus, kingdom authority, kingdom power, a kingdom mission, and a kingdom motive. So first, we need a kingdom focus. As a church, we must be focused on expanding God's kingdom here on earth. After all, the central theme of the teachings of Jesus was the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And here we see Jesus is placing the kingdom at the center of our focus, at the center of our pursuit. The kingdom of God is not merely a physical realm or a future promise. The kingdom of God, it is a present reality that we can experience today. In Luke chapter 17, verse 20 through 21. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. So our primary focus should always be on God's kingdom and His righteousness. And the kingdom of God is characterized by righteousness. That is, a right relationship with God and with others. It is a place of peace where we experience God's peace and a wholeness that transcends understanding. It's a realm of joy rooted in the Holy Spirit who fills our hearts with the presence of God. Amen? Amen. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And as followers of Christ, we are called to seek and serve the kingdom of God above all else. This means that we must align ourselves with God's will while we pursue justice, mercy, and love. It means living out the values of the kingdom in our daily lives, loving our neighbors, forgiving those who wrong us, and sharing the good news of Jesus. Church, we have a hope that the world doesn't have. How dare we hide that hope from others? The kingdom of God grows as we live out its principles, becoming agents of transformation in this broken world. It means we must prioritize God's will over all desires and ambitions. And while the kingdom of God is present now, we also look to its fulfillment in the future. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 and 4 gives us a vision of this glorious future. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." The kingdom of God will be fully realized when Christ returns, bringing about a new heaven and a new earth. See, the kingdom of God is not so a distant dream or a far-off promise. Instead, it is a present reality, a gift from God that we are invited to participate in here and now. So let us seek the kingdom first. Live in his righteousness, peace, and joy. Be witnesses of God's reign in our lives and in our world. Let us seek to accomplish his will here on earth as it is in the kingdom of heaven. And as we do this, we bring a foretaste of heaven to earth and prepare for the day that God's kingdom will come in all of its fullness. And next, we must understand kingdom authority. This authority is not derived from earthly or human strength. It is divine empowerment given to every believer in Christ. And understanding and exercising authority is crucial for living a victorious Christian life and advancing God's kingdom on earth. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen.'" Here we see the source of all authority, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. See, it's nothing that we can earn. It is nothing that we deserve. It is a gift of God. The authority is given to us so that we may fulfill God's mission to extend his kingdom and manifest his will here on earth. This authority enables us to act boldly for the kingdom of God, knowing that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As we exercise our authority in Christ, We will see His power at work in and through us. Kingdom power is another crucial element of a strong biblical foundation. And this power is not of the world, but it is the divine force that comes from the very throne of God. Church, do you realize that we have the same power today that the first century church had? We do. And yet, the modern church is so anemic and acts like we have no power. But the same power that saw Peter preach a sermon and 5,000 people come to salvation could happen today. We got to have faith. Scripture tells us without faith it's impossible to please God. So this power is not of this world, but it is a divine force. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Amen? The power that fuels our faith and the power that enables us to live victorious lives. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. See, this power is not something that we generate on our own. Again, it is a gift from God given to us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the Greek word used here for power is dunamis, which means miraculous power, might, and strength. It's the same power that Jesus used to perform miracles during His earthly ministry. And it is the same power that is available to each and every believer today. This power enables us to be witnesses for Christ, to live holy lives, and to carry out the mission of the kingdom. The Holy Spirit empowers us to carry out God's work. This power isn't for our own glory, but for advancing the kingdom of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See, kingdom power is beyond human ability. It is the supernatural power of God that exceeds our understanding and capabilities. The power works within us, enabling us to accomplish God's purposes in ways that we could never imagine. It gives us the strength to overcome obstacles, the courage to face challenges, and the ability to love and serve others in extraordinary ways. It's not limited by our weaknesses, but it is made perfect in them so that God is glorified. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, "But the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." The kingdom power is not just a concept or a theory. It's a reality that has been demonstrated in both word and deed. It is seen in the proclamation of the gospel, in acts of love and compassion, in signs and wonders, and in the transformation of lives. And to experience kingdom power, we must have faith and surrender to God's will. See, faith is the key that unlocks the power of God in our lives. It is trusting in God's promises and believing that He can and will do what He says He will do. Surrender is yielding our lives to God's control, allowing His power to work through us. Remember, your will be done, not mine. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." So we must abide in him, stay connected to the source of our power, to live in dependence on the Holy Spirit. This means cultivating a life of prayer, worship, and obedience. So as we draw near to God, He empowers us through His Holy Spirit and fills us with His power. And the kingdom mission is clear. That is to make disciples of all nations. Once again, looking at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Church, the Great Commission is the foundation of the kingdom mission. Amen? Do we all understand that that commission applies to each and every one of us in this room? It's not just my job. It's not just the leadership council's job. It doesn't matter how you're gifted. We all have been commissioned, that is, ordered to go out and make disciples. Amen? Let us be on the same page for that. Through the Great Commission, it is a command from Jesus that has been empowered by His authority and presence. So our mission is to make disciples, followers of Jesus who are committed to learning His teachings and living them out. And we cannot make disciples if we are not disciples ourselves. Therefore, we must be a church of dedicated and obedient followers of Christ who are making dedicated and obedient followers of Christ who are making dedicated and obedient followers of Christ. Do we see the rhythm? So this involves evangelism, baptism, teaching, and nurturing believers in faith. It's not enough to get that profession of faith. It's important, but we cannot leave a brand new convert without discipleship. Because how are they going to learn if we don't disciple them? So the scope of our mission is global. Preaching to all nations and people, regardless of race, culture, or background. And it starts right here in Norfolk. And once we've done all we can in Norfolk, then we move on. We broaden our scope ever further out until the day that all the world has heard the gospel. Because we can't go home until that happens. So we see this mission is not limited to specific or spiritual gifts, but includes the capacity to live out the gospel in our daily lives. The Holy Spirit equips us to demonstrate God's love, justice, and compassion, and to stand firm in the face of opposition. The world is hostile to Christians today. Praise God, we do not face persecution yet in this country. Day's coming. Watch the news. When that day happens, will you still stand firm in your faith and declare Christ as King? So we must rely on the Holy Spirit to enable us to fulfill the mission that Jesus has left to His church. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." The core message of the kingdom mission is reconciliation. God has reconciled himself to us through Jesus Christ, and he calls us to be ambassadors of this reconciliation. So our mission is to proclaim the good news that through Jesus, people's sins are forgiven and they can be restored to a right relationship with God. And this message brings hope to a world in need, offering a promise of new life, peace, and eternal joy. See, the kingdom mission requires commitment and action. It's not enough that we acknowledge the mission. We must actively participate in it. This means that we must step out of our comfort zones, engaging with others and sharing the gospel in word and deed. It's going to involve making sacrifices, whether in time, resources, or comfort. We do this to see God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Each of us has a role to play in this mission. Some are called to go to distant lands as missionaries, while others are called to serve in their local communities. Some are gifted in teaching, others in serving, and still others in intercessory prayer. But whatever our gifts and calling, we are all part of the body of Christ. And so we all work together in order to advance Christ's kingdom. And finally, our kingdom motive is the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A powerful and motivating truth that should shape our lives and actions as believers is the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The promise of Christ's return is not only a core doctrine of our faith, but it is also a powerful incentive in how we live today. It compels us to pursue holiness, to share the gospel, and to remain steadfast in our mission. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 30 and 31, "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with glory and great power. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." The return of Christ is a certainty. It has been foretold by Jesus and affirmed throughout the Scriptures. It is not a myth or a metaphor. It is a literal event that will occur in history. Jesus will return in power and glory, and all people will see him. And this certainty should fill us with both awe and reverence, knowing that we are accountable to the King of Kings who will come and establish his kingdom here on earth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." This passage offers comfort and encouragement, especially in those times of grief and suffering. The return of Christ promises the resurrection of the dead and the gathering of all believers to be with the Lord forever. Amen? It's a blessed hope that transcends the temporary trials and tribulations of this world. We are assured that a glorious future awaits us, free from pain, sorrow, and death. This hope should sustain us and inspire us to live with that eternal perspective. And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, Jesus warns us, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." The knowledge of Christ's imminent return should compel us all to live with a sense of urgency and readiness. The uncertainty of the timing of Christ's return is intentional. It's to keep us vigilant and attentive, always prepared for His coming. The urgency should be a call to action. It challenges us to examine our lives, to repent of sins, and pursue holiness. It also compels us to share the gospel with others, knowing that time is short and the lost need to be saved. See, the return of Christ should not lead us to complacency, but to be passionate about our commitment to God's kingdom work. So the question before us this morning is not merely of one of caring or willingness, but one of readiness. Are we ready to change the world for the kingdom of God? See, this is not a passive question. It's a call to action. And it's a challenge to each and every one of us, myself included. So if you answer yes, you're ready to change the world. Like I said, the next question is, are you willing to do whatever it takes? The mission we face at this pivotal time in the life of our church is not for the faint of heart. It requires a deep commitment, a willingness to sacrifice, and an unyielding focus on Jesus Christ, our solid rock. So today, let us commit to being Christ-centered church, driven by the return of our Savior. Let us strive to glorify God in all that we do, not seeking to please men, but to honor the one and the only one who is worthy. As we anticipate Christ's return, let us be faithful, steadfast, and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. May we be a church that cares and is willing to do whatever it takes to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we be a church that is ready to change the world, empowered by the Holy Spirit and motivated by the certainty of Christ's return. Let us pray that God would give us strength, wisdom, courage in order to fulfill our kingdom mission for His glory and the expansion of His kingdom while we wait on the return of His Son. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that Your Son, Jesus Christ, is a solid rock that Your church is built upon. Today we ask ourselves the question, are we ready to change the world? Are we willing to do whatever it takes? Father, this will take careful self-examination on the part of every person here. Some might think they're too old, but we remember that Moses was called to ministry when he was 80 years old. That You called Noah to build the ark when he was in his hundreds. Father, we thank You that You are always with us. That You empower us with Your authority and the power that flows within us from the Holy Spirit. We thank You for the lessons that we find in the Bible and we hold them dear to our heart. This morning we lift up all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Today, if you've never made a profession for Christ and you feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heartstrings, let this morning be that day. If you're sitting here and you're not sure where your eternal home is, then don't leave before you have the answers that you need. For some of you, you may need to come to the altar and confess a sin and lay it at the feet of Jesus, and I would encourage you to do so. So church, this morning, the altar is open. If you'd like me to pray with you, I'd be more than happy to. But let us stand as we sing, "Just As I Am."